Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On WNYC, Washington is crashing toward another high-stakes gridlock moment. The Thanksgiving deadline for the bipartisan so-called super committee to come up with a 10-year deficit reduction plan worth at least $1 trillion. Predictably, they're choosing upsides over the issue of tax hikes for the wealthy or more entitlement cuts for the old and poor. We will look at a piece of the super committee debate every day between now and the deadline. And today we ask, how much should we care about whether they succeed? The mandate, to be more precise, is for $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction at the minimum. Democrats proposed a $4 trillion version last week. But should we care whether it's on tax hikes or entitlement cuts? Should we impose that much pain on the American people for the sake of reducing the deficit? Should deficit cutting be the central goal at all right now as the economy fails to thrive? We will get two views now from Bill Frenzel, a visiting scholar at the Brookings Institution. He was a 20-year Republican congressman from Minnesota and was ranking minority member on the House Budget Committee. And Heather Bushy, senior economist at the Center for American Progress, the progressive think tank. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks. It's a pleasure
to be here.
Good
morning.
And Heather, you're the one who says the importance of deficits are being exaggerated. So I'll ask you a one-word question. Italy?
That's a great way to start the morning. You know, certainly over the long run, deficits are an issue. And certainly what's happening in Italy should very much concern us because, you know, what's happening in Europe and the potential collapse of the Eurozone and what's happening to banks over there will have an impact on the U.S. economy. And I'm guessing it's probably not going to be good if things are not dealt with in a better manner than they are right now. But, you know, here in the United States, we continue to have a significant gap between what our economy should be producing, where we were at before the crisis, and where we are now. That gap in output is a little over 9% now, and we continue to have, about 1 in 10 workers who wants a job out of work. We are not going to be able to get our fiscal house in order until we deal with our unemployment problem. So we can have these conversations, which are very important, about what to do about the federal budget, but the real issue is getting our economy back on track so you got more people paying taxes, more businesses thriving, paying taxes, less demand for government services, and that alone will go a long way towards solving our long-term budget issues. But as long as we remain mired as though that were the most important economic issue, we're not dealing with the fundamental challenge, which is high unemployment.
Congressman Frenzel, do you think the whole focus here may be skewed, that instead of a deficit reduction super committee with a Thanksgiving deadline, we should have a job creation super committee with a Thanksgiving deadline?
Well, I think the Congress and the President consider themselves job creation committees as it is, and I don't think they're trying to overlook the problem of getting our economy going again. The problem is that a settlement of some of this debt problem cannot wait. We are sitting here with our debt downgraded by one rating agency, and while we are paying very low interest rates now, the prospect of higher interest rates in the future gives a frightening possibility that we will have to subdue other parts of our budget in the future as our interest rates rise. We don't have the luxury of waiting around for our economy to get wonderful before we begin trying to make some sacrifices. We've got to begin trying to stabilize that debt ratio right now, or we're going to I don't think we're going to be another Greece, but we're going to have a lot of trouble, and we're going to be subjected to higher interest rates.
You mentioned the debt ratio, and at the risk of being wonky and making people's eyes glaze over, let me ask you about some numbers. I believe that in 1987, when deficits were an issue under President Reagan, the deficit was 5.4% of GDP. In 2009, which is the last year that I have a number for, it was more than 8%. So they were arguing about whether 5% of GDP deficits were too big in the 1980s. Now we're talking about 8%. Congressman, is there a tipping point that you cite?
No, nobody knows where the tipping point is. We just know it's too high. And
until we get
our debts, well, we know because our credit raters are telling us that our debt is not as good as it used to be, that we are at some point less likely to be able to pay it off. Our creditors for the moment have little very few places to go other than to U.S. debt, and so there's no danger of them walking out tomorrow. But eventually they will get less anxious to invest in us, and that too will escalate our interest rates. We have a debt to ratio now of somewhere above 70%. It doesn't leave you any room to maneuver when you do come to recessions and wars. You really need to get that down. Well, first you got to stabilize it because it's still on the increase, and then you have to get it down to somewhere near where it was in the post-war period.
What you said 70%. What does that 70% refer to?
That refers to the debt as a ratio of GNP, but it's debt held by the public. It isn't the full debt.
So I don't want to get lost in the numbers here, but Heather Bushy from Center for American Progress, the main theory is, and I think Congressman Frenzel just articulated, if deficits get too high, markets become concerned about the ability to repay the borrowing, so interest rates go up. And then that affects interest rates on the private sector, slowing economic growth, which obviously slows job creation. So is there anything wrong with that economic view?
Well, so think of it this way. Certainly, whether or not people want to buy your bonds has to do with what people think about your economy, not just what they think about your deficit, but whether or not your economy is growing. Are you going to be able to pay that back, right? So if you have an economy with slow growth and high unemployment that appears to be stagnating, the probability that you're going to be able to pay that back in the future is lower than if you have a high-growing economy because you've made smart investments with those government resources to get your economy back on track.
And that's exactly what's happening in Italy right now. It's not that they're suddenly running out of money. It's that confidence is becoming is deteriorating in the ability of Italy to pay back its debts. Therefore, the interest rates on Italian government bonds are spiking, and that's leading to the possibility of default. So what's the U.S. version of that, according to you, Heather?
Well, certainly. We've been talking about Italy and Greece for quite some time, that this was something on the horizon, whether or not they would be able to pay it back. Of course, remember, that is in the context of a country that no longer has control over its own monetary policy. Because it is now a member of the European Union and the euro, they don't have the same degree of wiggle room that the United States does to make our economic policy. We have control over our monetary policy, and we have control over our fiscal policy.
So is there a number at which you think we should be concerned? Or should we not be concerned if government debt is 5% of GDP, but yes, concerned if it's over 8%? Or should we wait until 13%? You know, do you have a tipping point?
We have seen unemployment at or above over 2 years at this point. Unemployed people are not making the kinds of income that allow them to be the kinds of taxpayers that they were prior to the crisis. So by definition, you have lower tax revenues until you get the unemployment rate down. That, I think, is the core piece of information that we need to be focusing on. There is a tipping point, and the tipping point is if we continue to starve our economy, right, if the plan is that we're going to do massive tax cuts, which is what the Republican agenda is as a part of this super committee, we're going to further squeeze low-income families and the unemployed and the elderly and squeeze government programs like food safety and all these kinds of things, then
but is there
we're not,
a t-
then we're
but-
not
But is there any number, percentage?
I think you're pushing for a single number, which is not, that's not the right question, if you pardon me. That is as though, because that's taken out of context. If the economy was growing like gangbusters, then, and you had the confidence that you'd be able to pay that money back, then you'll be able to, then the tipping point is going to be different than if you're in a stagnating or,
right.
shall we consider a declining economy?
Yes.
At which case, then the higher debt becomes.
So in the context of today's economy, with all the ways you describe it, there's still no number at which you would stop borrowing that you can identify.
There's not a single number it's not the right question to ask. We need to be focused on what is the role of fiscal and monetary policy in getting our economy moving, and then we need to be focused on what is our long-term plan. But if our plan right now is to do what happened in Greece or in the UK and to just say, we're just going to, you know, put a big clamp down on government spending and hope that solves our problems, what you see is that then the economy moves in reverse, and then that only adds to your budget deficit.
And you do see, Congressman, that the austerity programs in Greece and the UK have actually slowed economic growth there rather than, getting out of the way of the private sector, as some of the purists would theorize.
I'm afraid I cannot speak for Italy or Greece, but I have to say in this country that our economy is not stagnant. We have a slight bit of growth. We have a great deal more unemployment than we would like to have. We have opened the throttle on the monetary policy. We have expanded the Fed's balance sheet by more than 100%. We have indulged in stimulus programs, which I presume are the ones that we're talking about, government investments. They have been singularly ineffective in boosting employment. Our problem is not tomorrow. It is now. And we cannot sit around and wait until our interest costs are totally out of control and are eating into that area of the budget that has been defined as our investments.
I just want to ask
one
political question before we run out of time.
Sure.
Congressman, what were your 20 years in the House? When did they end?
They ended in 1991.
So you were not there for – well, so you were there for the Reagan years.
I was.
When it was kind of reversed, where Democrats I was doing some historical research last night, and I came up with this from the New York Times, January 5th, 1987, via Reason Magazine. It says, the incoming Democratic chairman of the House and Senate Budget Committees today – called on the president to work with them on a deficit-reducing package that would include tax increases and spending cuts. So there it was, the Republicans saying deficits don't matter, the Democrats saying, oh, yes, they do. And here's one from CNNMoney.com, 2004. Mm-hmm. On Monday, President Bush unveiled a $2.4 trillion budget proposal that includes expected deficits of more than $500 billion. Supporters of the president say massive deficits under President Reagan and the first President Bush fueled a surge in business investment and economic growth. So have the parties kind of switched places on this?
Probably some of them have in some ways, but I have a lot of difficulty myself believing that deficits are a great thing for anybody, and I do believe they matter.
Heather, a last word, 30 seconds.
Well, I think you're right in pointing out that we ran up these deficits in the good years when, as the congressman pointed out, we should have been saving. So where we are today is really the outcome of poor economic policy in the 2000s and the fact that those deficits did not lead to strong growth in investment or jobs.
Bill Frenzel, visiting scholar at the Brookings Institution, 20-year Republican congressman from Minnesota, was the ranking minority member on the House Budget Committee. And Heather Bushy, senior economist at the Center for American Progress. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More on the Super Committee tomorrow. Coming up next, how the Great Recession is keeping marriages together and tearing them apart. Stay tuned.